بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our session number 16. Reading from Lessons in Arabic Language, Book 1, Dr. Fa Abdul Rahim, Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute. Today we're going to be doing lesson number 10. But before we begin with the lesson for today, we're going to quickly review what we had for homework on the first day of the proposed schedule for homework assignment. That is, quick review of lessons 5, 6, 7, and 8. Yani just a quick look at the English keys for those lessons. And the point here is that the reason why we want to at least take out one day during the week to review earlier lessons is so that we don't forget what we have learned. It's going to be very difficult by the time we get to the end of this book to retain all of the information or even most of it if we are not constantly reviewing. So we are proposing, suggesting, encouraging that we take at least one day out a week, the first day after the class, to review at least four or five of the previous lessons, so that every week we are constantly reviewing what we have taken before, and in this way, inshallah, we retain the grammatical points, and as well, inshallah, reviewing the vocabulary so that we, retain the vocabulary from the earlier lessons. Okay, so just quickly, we're going to look at the lessons that we had proposed for review for this week. That is lesson 5, 6, 7, and 8. In lesson 5, there are 4 points. Okay, I'm not going to read the English key, but I'm going to summarize the main points from the English key. Okay, so the first point was related to what is called al-idafa, the idafa construction, the construct phrase. It's composed of two words. The first part is called the mudaf. The second part is called the mudafu ilayhi, and it shows the relationship between the two words, such as kitabu bilalin, the book of Bilal. Okay, this is an idafa construction. The rules for the idafa construction is that the first part, the mudaf, never takes alif lam or tanween, and the second part, the mudaf and ilahi, will take either alif lam or tanween. The first part will become definite or indefinite depending on whether or not the mudaf ilahi, the second part, is definite or indefinite. Usually this construction can be translated with the word of, yani the book of Bilal. The other example they gave us, Baytu al-Imami, the house of the Imam. You may also say the Imam's house or Bilal's book, but in any case, what is important here is that the first part never takes alif lam or tanween, and Baytu al-Imami, Bayt became definite because al-Imam is definite. If we had changed that example to Baytu Imamin, then because imamin is indefinite, bait would become indefinite, would become a house of an imam, or an imam's house. The second point of this lesson is related to, they gave you different types of examples here for the idafa construction, but what's important is that the idafa construction is composed of two words, the mudaf, the mudaf ilayhi. Their translation can usually be translated with the word of, the book of the imam, or the book of Bilal, and so on. The first part never takes alif lam or tanween. The second part will take alif lam or tanween, one of them. The first part can be marfu'un with dhamma, majrurun with kasra, or mansub with fatha. The second part, yani depending on its relation, the first part may be marfu' or majrur or mansub. The second part is always majrur because it's mudaf ilayhi. We say the mudaf ilayhi is always majrur. The sign that is majrur, primary sign, is kasra. The second point of this lesson is the word tahta, which means under or underneath. And what we know about this is that tahta is a dharf. It's an adverb of place. And the noun that follows an adverb is always mudafun ilayhi, majrur as well. So you say tahta al-maktabi or tahta al-kitabi, yani underneath the desk or underneath the book. The second part, yani of this construction, yani the word that's connected to the adverb of place, is always going to be mudafun ilayhi majrur. The third point of this lesson is ya, the vocative ya, ya nida. The noun following ya, as when you say ya, yani Bilal. Bilal originally has tanween, but after ya, it loses its tanween and it becomes mabniun, fixed on a single Dhamma. The word after Ya, and in the general rule, and we're going to look at details of it in the future, but the general rule is that the proper noun that comes after Ya is going to lose its tanween. And even a common noun, yani it is the one that is intended by the call, the Ya, then it's going to lose its tanween, and it's going to become a fixed, yani mabniyun, on a single dhamma. So you say, Ya Bilalu, not Ya Bilalun, and you say, Ya Sheikhu, not Ya Sheikhun, or Ya Ustadhu, not Ya Ustadhun. Yani it loses its tanween, and it becomes fixed on a single dhamma. The vocative Ya is when you're getting somebody's attention, you say, Oh, so-and-so. Or in slang language, they say, Yo. Now, the last point of this lesson is words that begin with Hamzatul Wasl. Yani when a word begins with a sukoon, they don't like words to begin with sukoon, so they add Hamzatul Wasl, the Arabs. And that vowel on that word, like Ibnun and Ismun, the Kesra vowel here is only going to be pronounced when you begin with that word. If there's anything before that word, then you're going to go straight from the word that's before it to the sukoon that the word begins with after the Hamzatul Wasl, and you're going to pronounce them together. You don't say Wa Ibni, Wa Ibn, rather you say Wabnu, Wabnun, and so on. Ismun, yani you don't say Wa Ismun, but you say Wasmun. Okay, so the point here is that words that begin with Hamzatul Wasl, it's because they originally begin with a letter with sukoon. That Hamzatul Wasl is added, its vowel is added. If you don't begin with that word, but rather there's something before it, we lose that vowel, and the word before it is connected directly to the letter with sukoon that the word begins with after Hamzatul Wasl. Okay, this is the summary of what we had in lesson number 5. In lesson number 6, we had 5 points in this lesson, 5 points, okay? And these points can really very easily be summarized, because some of them are not grammatical points, they're just definitions of words. But the first point is very important, and it's related to feminine nouns in Arabic, nouns and adjectives that are feminine. Okay, so in reference to things that are feminine, the ism ishara that we learned previously, hadha, in the first lesson, can only be used with masculine things, pointing to masculine things. So if there's something feminine and we want to point to it, we use hadhihi. Hadihi, and it's pronounced as though there's an aleph on the first letter, but that aleph is not written, but it is pronounced. Okay, so hadihi means this, or this is. It's used to refer to feminine things in the same way that hadha is used to refer to masculine things. The second point of this lesson is that all nouns and adjectives in Arabic are either masculine or feminine. Okay, so in order to make a noun or an adjective feminine, like madrasa, I mean, not madrasa, mudarrisun is masculine. If we want to make it feminine, we add ta marbuta preceded by fatha, yani on the last letter before the ta marbuta. So mudarrisun becomes mudarrisatun. Yani azizun becomes azizatun. Kabirun becomes kabiratun, and so on. Okay, so in order to make a noun or an adjective, yani feminine in Arabic, you add ta marbuta preceded by fatha. Okay, there's also another point under this second point, and that is that there are feminine words in Arabic that don't end with ta marbuta, and you have to learn them as you go along. One of the rules that we had in this lesson was that parts of the body that are in pairs, then they are feminine, even though they don't have ta marbuta. The third point of this lesson is the preposition li, which means belonging to or for, as in Alhamdulillahi, the praise belongs to Allah. This preposition li is like every other preposition that we had in lesson 4, for example. We had fi, ala, ila, and min. Li is just like the other prepositions in that the noun following it is going to be majroor. Yani the object of a preposition is always going to be majroor. Also in this lesson we had points 4 and 5, two words, aydan, which means also, and jiddan, which means very. So these are vocabulary words that you have to learn. I'm going to skip the vocabulary for today, just to make sure that we have enough time to complete our lesson for today. Lesson number 7 was just simply the feminine counterpart of dhalika. Remember in lesson 1 we had hadha, which means this or this is, pointing to things near. And in lesson 2 we had dhalika, which means that or that is, pointing to things which are far. So in lesson 6, we had the feminine counterpart of hadha, we had hadhihi, And in this lesson 7, we had the feminine counterpart of ذَلِكَ, which is تِلْكَ, means that or that is. That's all that we had in this lesson number 7. And then in lesson number 8, there were also 4 points. There were 4 points in lesson number 8. And again, we're going to just summarize those points, just so that, and if anybody has not been reviewing the earlier lessons, I urge you, encourage you, to please go back and review these lessons. If there's anything that I'm saying here that's not clear because I'm summarizing the presentation, that means you need to go back to the English key and review those points. Okay, in lesson number 8, 4 points. The first point is the ism ishara, the demonstrative pronoun, like hadha, or hadhihi, or dhalika, or tilka. The ism ishara that has a badal. Yani the ism ishara followed by a noun with alif lam, as such as hadha al-kitabu. You could also say dhalika al-kitabu. Or you could say hadhihi ash-shajaratu. Or tilka ash-shajaratu. Ism ishara followed by a noun with alif lam. This is yani a badal construction. The difference here is that when you have the ism ishara followed by a noun with alif lam, it becomes part of one construction. So it's not like two separate words as if you had hadha kitabun. Hadha kitabun means this is a book. That's a complete sentence. Two separate words. One is the mubtada and the other is the khabar. But when you add alif lam to kitabun and make it hadha al kitabun, now it's a badal construction. It doesn't mean this is the book. It means this book. Okay, it means this book. So hadha is the mubtada. Al-kitabu is the badal. Yani it's a substitute for hadha. It can be used in its place. One of them in place of the other. Either one of them can be used separately or you can use them together. It means hadha al-kitabu means this book. So now you need a predicate, yani a khabar. So you say hadha al-kitabu, this book is jadidun, qadimun, kabirun, whatever. Okay, so there's a difference between hadha kitabun, this is a book, and hadha al-kitab, this book, which is not a complete sentence. The second point of this lesson was nouns, yani that what are known as ism al-maksur. Al-ism al-maksur, yani the noun that ends with alif. Well, whether it's alif mamduda, the straight up and down alif that looks like a number 1, or alif maksura, that's written in the form of ya at the end of a word without its two dots. Words that end with yani alif, as in America, as in mustashfa, or Mustafa, or Isa. Yani these type of words, we don't see the vowel on the last letter, on that alif, because alif is not a consonant, so it doesn't take a vowel. So we don't see the vowel changing to indicate its i'rab. We don't see it changing when yani it was marfu'un, we don't see a dhamma. When it became majrurun, we don't see a kasra. When it was mansubun, we don't see a fatha written on top of the alif. Okay? So these words, we don't say that they are mabniun. They are not mabniun. Rather, they just don't have a vowel change at the end of the word that indicates its change. They do make changes. They do have i'rab. They are marfu'un, mansub, majrur. We just don't see the vowel change. This is a very important concept, the ism maksur, and it is important that if a person doesn't really remember it well, that you go back and read the English key for lesson number 8, point number 2. Okay, al-ism al-maksur. Number 3 is the adverb, another adverb of place, khalfa, which means behind, and amama, which means in front of. Okay, these are adverbs, and as we said previously, yani, adverbs, when the noun that follows them, yani, is going to be mudafun ilayhi majrur. So the noun that follows an adverb, like amama al-masjidi, or khalfa al-masjidi, it means that the word following it, yani, the word that comes after the adverb is going to be yani mudafun ilayhi majrur. This is the same for khalfa, for amama, we had previously tahta, and so on. Yani an adverb, yani the noun following it is going to be mudafun ilayhi majrur. And the last point that we had was the past tense verb jalasa, which just means that he sat. Okay, so this is what we had in lesson number 8, and these are four lessons that we very, very quickly are reviewing here just as a means of reminding us of some of the things that we studied before, and hopefully these things are still retained in our memory. Otherwise, it means that we do, and we must go back and do some review. There's one last thing. I just want to just mention to us that lesson number 9 contained 2 points only. Okay, we just finished lesson number 9, so hopefully these things are fresh in our mind. But in any case, lesson number 9 deals with the very important concept of the na'at and the man'ut. Yani, the na'at is an adjective, and the man'ut is the word that it qualifies or describes. And what we said about the na'at and the man'ut is that the adjective, the na'at, always follows in Arabic the word that it is qualifying. Unlike English, the adjective comes first. In Arabic, the adjective comes after the word that is qualifying, and it also has to agree with it in 4 things. In this lesson number 9, we had 3 of those things. It has to agree with it in gender, being masculine or feminine. Has to agree with it in definiteness, in being definite or indefinite. It has to agree with in case, in being marfu or mansub or majrur. And the 4th point, which we didn't take in this lesson, it has to agree with in number, in being singular, dual, or plural. So that was the first point for lesson number 9. The second point was that adjectives ending with an extra aleph and noon, like the words kaslanu, jawanu, atashanu, ghadabanu, and so on, these words that end with an extra aleph and noon after the triliteral root of the word, such adjectives are mamnu' min as-sarf. They are diptotes, meaning they don't take tanween, and if they are majrur, they don't take kasra. Okay, that's what we had in the first part of lesson 9. In the second part of lesson 9, we had one other point, and that is the relative pronoun, al-ism al-mawsool, al-ladhi, which means who if it's referring to a person, and it means which if it's referring to an inanimate thing. So al-ladhi is used for masculine things, and we'll see in the coming lesson that the feminine counterpart of it is al-lati. Al-ladhi is for masculine things, and allati is to refer to things which are feminine. Okay, we'll be seeing that very soon. The other point of this lesson, well, actually, there are 4 points in the second part. The first point is in reference to adjectives. The second point is the relative pronoun, allati, which means who or which. The third point is the preposition li, when it is attached to a noun that begins with alif lam, the aleph is omitted. So you don't say li al-imam, you say lil-imam. Instead of saying li al-mudarrisi, you say lil-mudarrisi. And the last point is the another dharf, yani like amama and khalfa, and tahta, inda, which means which, to be in the presence, means to be in the presence of someone, as al-mudarrisu, inda al-mudiri, the teacher is with, or in the presence of the mudir, specifically. The meaning of this is specifying the place that he's with the mudir and the place that the mudir is well known for, that is, in his office. Okay, as opposed to what we'll see in the lesson number 10 today, another word that means with is ma'a, but ma'a is not restricted to a particular place. You can be with someone anywhere. As far as inda, what is generally understood from that means that you are with that person in the place that is well known to be, the place that they are known for. Okay, so inda is a dharf al-makan, the word following it, like tahta, amama, and khalfa, the word following it is going to be mudhafun ilayhi majrur. Okay, so these are some of the lessons that we have completed previously, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, and today, inshallah, we're going to take lesson number 10. Last week, we did review, briefly, we didn't read it, but we previewed briefly the grammatical points for lesson number 10, and they were 9 points, and because the time was short, I felt that rather than to race through the reading of these 9 points, it was better for me to just summarize those points so that you can have an idea, a better idea of what they entail, and also to alleviate any concern that anyone had, because there's so many points in this lesson, perhaps it might have seemed to be overwhelming. So in any case, last week, I briefly outlined a summary of these 9 points, what they entail, and today, inshallah, we're going to read the English key. So we're going to start today with lesson number 10, English key on page 25, and 26 and 27. 25, 26, and 27. We're going to read the English key. And after that, we'll go to the main part of the lesson. Alright, so hopefully today, inshallah, we're going to read the English key and the Arabic text and maybe the first two exercises. Okay, so the English key, again, on page 25, begins with the possessive pronouns ka, hu, ha, and ya al-mutakallim. Now, before I read this brief discussion concerning the possessive pronouns, I want to remind you that we did send out to those of you who we have an email address for, we sent out a picture of a chart showing the attached and detached pronouns. Previously, we had four of the detached pronouns. We had huwa, and we had here, and we had anta, and we had ana in lesson number 4. Prepositions and pronouns. We had huwa, he is, or it is, here, she is, or it is, anta, you, masculine, singular, second person, masculine, singular, anta, which means you, speaking to a male, an individual male, and we had ana, which means I, okay? So these are personal pronouns. They are not connected to other words. They are not connected to other words. We had those in lesson 4. Huwa, hiya, anta, and ana. So these we should know well. In this lesson, we're going to take their counterparts from the attached pronouns. The damir muttasil, or the mail al-muttasila. The attached pronouns, okay? So the pronouns, when they are attached, generally, they're going to be referred to as possessive pronouns because they generally show possession. But the attached pronouns may be used in another manner also that we'll see later on. But for now, we're going to refer to them as possessive pronouns. Why? Because they show possession. You say his book, her book, my book, your book, okay? So your or his or her shows possession, shows that it belongs to somebody, okay? Ownership or possession. So they're referring to them as possessive pronouns. The point I want to emphasize here is that we had the pronouns for huwa and hiya and ana and anta, personal pronouns that are not attached, and now we're going to see their equivalent counterparts. When we have to attach the pronoun, we have to use a different form. We have to use a different form, okay, to show possession, and it's going to be attached to a noun, to a clear noun, or it's going to be attached to a preposition, or it's going to be attached to some other word, maybe a verb and so on. Okay, these attached pronouns, in this lesson we're going to look at 4 of them. And then in the next few lessons, in lesson 11 we have review, but in 12, 13, 14, and 15 we're going to take the rest of these attached pronouns along with the unattached personal pronouns that go with them in the next 5 lessons. In lesson number 11 and 12 and 13 and 14. 12, 13, 14, and 15. Now, lesson 11 is a review, so we're not going to take any of those in lesson 11, but in 12, 13, 14, and 15, we're going to be taking the remaining pronouns, the attached pronouns and the unattached pronouns. If there's something that's not clear about these pronouns, and as we go through these 4 in this lesson, please send me a question so that we can clarify. What is important here is that we're looking at the pronouns from 2 perspectives here, whether it's attached or it's unattached. We had 4 of these pronouns that were unattached, personal pronouns, in lesson 4. And now we're taking their attached forms when they're used as possessive pronouns in this lesson number 10. Okay? So, that being said, the chart that I gave you, all you have to look at are the pronouns that we're going to take in this lesson. For he, huwa, and hu, and for she, hiya, and ha, and for you, masculine, singular, anta, or ka, and first person, singular, ana, or e, ya al-mutakallam, kasra, ya, with sukun. That's all you're required for lesson number 10. In lesson 12, we'll take a few more, and then in 13, and 14, and 15, we'll complete 10 pronouns, attached and detached pronouns. Okay, everything except the duals. The duals I've crossed out of that chart because we're not going to be taking them anytime soon, so we don't have to worry about that. Okay, but in the next few lessons, we're going to complete the pronouns other than the duals. So, in reference to pronouns, we have to be thinking about three things. We have to be thinking about, are they masculine or feminine? We have to be thinking about, are they singular or plural? And we have to be thinking about the pronoun. Does it refer to the first person, the speaker, I or my? Or the second person, the one being spoken to, you or you all? Or to the third person, he or she or them? Okay? We have to consider, are we talking about the pronoun we want to use? Is it for the first person, the speaker? In Arabic, it's called mutakallimun. Or the second person, the one who is being spoken to directly, the mukhatabun. Or are we talking about the third person, the one who we are speaking about, which in Arabic is called ghaibun? And by the way, I just noticed, and I didn't notice before, that on that chart they have ghaibun, and it's not ghaibun, it's ghaibun, ghaib, with hamza on the ya, with hamza on the ya. Yani instead of the ya, it's really a seat for hamza. It's ghaibun, not ghaibun. Okay? So that's a printing mistake. Alright, let's go back now. After, yani, I just want you to kind of understand that chart. Yani, there are three considerations. First person, second person, third person. The pronoun that we want to use. Is it a first person pronoun, a second person pronoun, or a third person pronoun? Second thing we want to consider, is it referring to masculine or feminine? To a male or a female? And the third thing we want to consider, Is it going to be a singular pronoun or a plural pronoun? There's also dual, but we're not looking at that now, okay? We don't want to look at the duals. Singular or plural? Then we're going to look at the number, singular or plural. We're going to look at the gender, masculine or feminine. And we're going to look at the person. Is it first person, second person, or third person? So if you look at that chart, you see there are three columns. On the far left-hand side, on the English side, you have on the first column closest to the edge, third person, second person, first person. And then the next column going over towards the right, you have masculine and feminine. And then in the next column, you have singular and plural, singular and plural, singular and plural. So these are the three considerations that we're going to be looking at in terms of pronouns. So if I say first person, that means the speaker. If I say masculine, then we know it's going to be used for a male. Feminine for a female, or something that is classified as feminine in Arabic. And then I'm going to say, is it singular or plural? So I'm going to say first person, masculine, yani singular. Or first person, feminine, singular. Or second person, masculine, plural, for example. Maybe singular, maybe plural, maybe masculine, maybe feminine. It may be first person, maybe second person, it may be third person. This is very, very important. Like I said, we're going to do this over a period of five lessons. In lesson 10, Lesson 12, 13, 14, and 15. So you have plenty of time to learn this, to memorize it, and to comprehend it, but you have to study it. Yeah, and you have to study it. You have the whole chart. You can go ahead if you like, but as I said, we're going to take it over a period of time. Okay, let's go back to the English key right now. Back to the English key. And let's see the pronouns that we have for this lesson. Four of them. It says on page 25, lesson number 10, in this lesson we learn number 1. Again, there are 9 points in this lesson. The first point and the second point are probably the most important points in this lesson. Probably the most important. So if we can comprehend them, I think inshallah the other points will come much more easier. The possessive pronoun. First point is the possessive pronoun. Okay, if we are reading from, yani in English right now, right, we're reading from left to right, so the first pronoun that comes is calf. And they gave the example starting with the calf, okay? The next pronoun going from left to right is who. The next pronoun is ha. And the last one is ya al-mutakallim, meaning the letter ya, which is going to be preceded by a kesra, mandatory. It must be preceded by a kesra. It's always going to be preceded by a kesra. So it's going to be e. So you have ka, hu, ha, and e. These are four possessive pronouns. Yani, then they give us examples for each one. Okay, the first one they gave us, the example, in Arabic on the right side it says, kitabuka. Okay, so the word kitab with the pronoun ka. It means, kitabuka means your book. But this your, ka, is the counterpart of anta. So it's the second person, one you're speaking to, masculine, a male, and singular form. There's also a plural form. But this is the second person, masculine, singular form that corresponds to anta. If you were speaking to a male and you said, anta muslimun, you are a Muslim. Okay, that's for the personal pronoun, you are a Muslim, for example. Here is the possessive pronoun. Kitabuka means, it doesn't mean you book, it means what? Your book. Because it's showing possession, your book. Kitabuka. Okay, your book. Your here is for masculine, singular. So this is the second person, one you're speaking to, masculine form, singular form. The next one they gave us is kitabuhu. Same word, kitab, kitabuhu, with the pronoun hu. Hu is the counterpart of huwa. We had huwa in lesson 4. Huwa means he or it is. But here as a possessive pronoun, hu, this form hu, means showing possession. So kitabuhu means his book. His book, kitabuhu. Kitabuka, your book. Speaking directly to a male. Kitabuka, your book. Kitabuhu, I'm speaking about a third person. That's why this is the third person form. Third person, masculine, singular. Third person, masculine. Kitabuhu means what? His book. Okay? His is third person because I'm talking about him. And it's masculine because, yani, here we want to, yani, use the masculine form, right? So this is third person, masculine, and it's singular. There's also, yani, a feminine form, and there's also a plural form. Okay? So this is the second pronoun. It's who. It's the counterpart of huwa. Huwa means he or he is, personal pronoun, and who means his, possessive pronoun, showing possession or ownership. Kitabu hu, his book. The next one is kitabuha. This is the third example they gave us. Kitabuha. Okay, so the pronoun ha is the counterpart of hiya that we had in lesson 4. Hiya means she or she is. Personal pronoun. Possessive pronoun, her, hers. Yani kitabuha, her book. This is hers. This is her book. Kitabuha. Kitabuhu, his book. Kitabuha, her book. Okay, so I want you to associate hu, kitabuhu, with huwa, personal pronoun. And I want you to associate ha and kitabuha with hiya, the personal pronoun hiya. Okay, because ha is for third person, feminine singular, possessive pronoun. Just as hiya is for third person, feminine singular, personal pronoun. Okay, when I'm showing possession, I'm going to use ha, not hiya. I'm not going to say kitabuhiya. I'm going to say kitabuha. Because ha represents hiya, represents third person, feminine, singular. But it shows possession. Okay? So it means her book. The last one they gave us is kitabi, which means my book. Okay? Kitabi, notice that the ya, which is the pronoun, this ya, which is called ya al-mutakallim, the ya of the speaker, the singular, yani first person singular form of the pronoun. This ya al-mutakallim must always be preceded by kisra. Okay? So that's why we don't see kitabu-i. Rather, ya al-mutakallim has to be preceded by kisra, so the dhamma is lost and it becomes kitabi. This ya al-mutakallim means my book. It shows the possession by the first person singular, as opposed to first person plural. Okay, first person singular. In the personal pronouns, the corresponding pronoun is ana. Like if a person said, ana muslimun, ana mudarrisun, ana tajirun, ana muhandisun. Yani it's the first person speaking about themselves. Ana muhandis, I am an engineer. But when we use ya al-mutakallam, that's to show possession. So we don't say kitabu ana, yani my book. But we say kitabi. Okay, what I want you to remember here is that the first person singular form of the possessive pronoun is ya al-mutakallam. It is always preceded by kasra. It's always preceded by kasra. Alright, so we're going to lose whatever vowel was there before, whether it was a dhamma or a fatha. Now it's going to have to be kasra. Okay, so these are three possessive pronouns. They show possession. Kitabuka means your book. Kitabuhu means his book. Kitabuha means her book. And kitabi means my book. Their counterparts for ka is anta, for hu is huwa, for ha is hiya, for e, ya mutakallam, is ana. Okay, I'm going to read again. After those four examples, it says these pronouns are not full-fledged words. They are like suffixes attached to the nouns. So it's just, it's not an independent word by itself, but it's always going to be attached to the noun or attached to another word. Could be attached to a clear noun, could be attached to a preposition, could be attached to a verb, and so on. All right? There are pronouns that can be attached to a verb, but not these particular pronouns, but pronouns can be attached to verbs. But here, this type of pronoun is going to be attached to a clear noun, or it's going to be attached to a preposition. All right? So, what we want to know here is that we want to correspond the possessive pronouns, these four, with the personal pronouns that we learned in lesson four. Okay, possessive pronoun shows possession. My book, your book, his book, her book. Personal pronouns represent a person. Ana, I. Hua, he. He is. Hiya, she or she is. Anta, you. Are. Okay, and these pronouns we're going to learn the plurals later on, and in the lessons that follow in 12, 13, 14, and 15. Okay, this is the first point of this lesson. Very important foundational material. I hope everybody read it for homework, and I hope, inshallah, that it is clear. We'll be learning the remaining six pronouns, possessive pronouns and personal pronouns. We'll be learning them together, the possessive pronoun and the personal pronoun together, in the lessons that follow. Point number two. Lesson 10, page 23, English key, point number 2. This particular point is related to the first point, okay? But it's going to show us how there are certain special words in the Arabic language. They're generally referred to as al-asma al-khamsa, the five special nouns. How these particular nouns have a special rule when a pronoun is connected to them, and even when a clear noun is connected to them. In the previous examples, we saw kitabuka, kitabuhu, kitabuha, right? We saw the pronoun being attached directly to the clear noun, kitab. But when you attach these pronouns to one of these special words, these four or five words, when you attach a pronoun to them, we're going to see that it's not going to be attached directly to it, but there's going to be a wow added. Okay? So, for example, the word ab, which means father, and akh, which means brother, we can't attach these pronouns, ka and hu and ha and e, directly to these words. Rather, we're going to connect them, we're going to join them with a letter in between them that is a wow. Okay, we'll learn later on that that wow could also be a yeah, or it could also be an aleph, depending on what vowel that word has as its indication of i'rab. Here, it's going to be waw because these words are going to all have dhamma. So if they have dhamma and we attach something to it, then we're going to make dhamma waw. But in other cases in the future, we'll see if it was kesra, it's going to be kesra ya, and if it was fatha, it's going to be fatha aleph. We're going to just elongate the vowel. That's what happens. We elongate whatever vowel it has with these four or five special words. Okay, let's read from page 25, lesson 10, English key, number 2. We're going to look at these special words and how when we attach something to them in idhafa, whether it's these pronouns that we just learned or other words, clear nouns, showing possession. When we attach them in an idhafa construction showing possession, then we're going to have to elongate their vowel. In this case, it's going to be elongating the dhamma with wow. In future, we'll see it may be elongating a kesra with ya or elongating a fatha with aleph. It says, as we have seen, your book is kitabu ka, your book, and his book is kitabu hu, his book. The word for father is abun, and the word for brother is akhun. So your brother is, if you want to add the pronoun ka your brother, instead of saying akhuka, we're going to have to elongate the dhamma and make it akhuka. This is a special rule, okay, for four or five words in the Arabic language, al-asma al-khamsa, the five special words. An extra wow has to be added between the mudhaf and the mudhaf ilahi. Yani when these words, these five special words, when they're used in idafa, we can say four because one of them is always used in idafa, that's dhu. The rest of them are not always used in idafa, but this rule is applicable to these words only when they are used in idafa. When they are used in idafa with something connected to an idafa construction, showing possession or ownership or some kind of relationship of idafa, then what's going to happen is we're going to have to elongate its vowel. In this case, we're going to elongate the dhamma with wow. An extra wow has to be added between the mudhaf ab or akh and the mudhaf ilayhi, who or how or whatever we're going to connect to it. In the same way, his father, in the same way that we said akhuka is really akhuka, so the same thing, if we want to say his father, we don't say abuhu, but we say abuhu. Yani the dhamma is going to be elongated with wow. So instead of saying abuhu, yani the word is ab, abun, abuhu, instead of saying abuhu, we say abuhu. Instead of saying akhuka, we say akhuka, elongating the vowel. Okay, note that this also works not only with pronouns, like the pronouns that we just had, the possessive pronouns, which are used in idafa, right, connected to a word to show possession, but also with clear nouns, like Muhammad. If we wanted to say the house of Muhammad, we would say Baytu Muhammadin, right? This is an idafa construction, Muhammad's house or the house of Muhammad. Baytu Muhammadin. But if we're going to use one of these special words like ab and akh in idafa with the same word Muhammad, instead of it just having a single dhamma, the dhamma is going to be elongated with wow, and instead of saying Abu Muhammad, we're going to have to say Abu Muhammad. Abu Muhammad. And I also just noticed something here that I didn't notice before, that in this example, Abu Muhammadin, yani the shadda has a kasra underneath it for the meme. It is written here Muhammadin, which is what many English people say when they say the name of Muhammad, but it's not really with a kasra. That's a mistake. The example before that and the example after that are written with shadda and fatha, and that's the correct way it should be spelt. Muhammad with fatha, not Muhammad. Often English people say Muhammad. This is incorrect. It's Muhammad with fatha. Okay, so this is a printing mistake here. Abu Muhammadin. Yani Muhammad's father, or literally the father of Muhammad. And the same thing if we went to say Muhammad's brother or the brother of Muhammad, we say Akhu Muhammadin. Not Akhu Muhammadin. Not Akhu with a short vowel, but elongating that dhamma with wow. Akhu Muhammadin. Okay, so what are we saying here? We're saying that there are words in the Arabic language, four or five words, that when they're used in idafa, this is only when they're used in idafa. Otherwise, they don't get this extra wow. But when they're used in idafa, we add an extra wow, meaning that we elongate its vowel. If it's a dhamma, we elongate it with wow. As we'll see later on, if it was a kasra, we elongate it with ya. And if it was a fatha, we elongate it with alif. Okay, so they gave us two examples here. Abu Muhammadin and Akhu Muhammadin. Okay, and that is particular to just a few words in the Arabic language. After that it says, my father and my brother have no extra wow. And if we wanted to say Akhi, my brother, or Abi, my father, we don't get an extra wow. Why is it that we don't get an extra wow? It's because, remember we said that the pronoun for the first person singular, Ya al-Mutakallim, must always be preceded by Kasra. So even though there was originally a Dhamma there, once you attach it to Ya al-Mutakallim, the first person singular pronoun, once you attach it to Ya al-Mutakallim must always be preceded by Kasra. So we lose the Dhamma vowel, and we're not going to elongate the Dhamma vowel. Rather, we're going to change that to a Kasra in order for it to be fitting appropriately with Ya al-Mutakallim. Okay? So, the adding of the waw, or the elongating of the dhamma that we mentioned in the original rule, the exception to that rule is when you attach the pronoun for the first person singular, ya al-mutakallim, it must always be preceded by kasra. So we're not going to see a waw being added. Rather, it's just going to become a long vowel, kasra ya. Abi, my father. Akhi, my brother. The nouns which take this extra waw when they are mudaf are four words. Yani, there are actually five words, but four of them, this rule is applicable to them when they are in idhafa. The fifth one is only used in idhafa. It's never used in any situation except in idhafa. So that one is automatic. The other words, the rule is only when they are used in an idhafa construction is this special rule applicable to them. That is, the vowel that they have, dhamma, is going to be elongated by waw. Okay? So, we don't see that rule when we have ya al-mutakallim. When I'm saying my father, or my brother, or my house, or my book, then you notice that when we had the, in point number one, kitabuka, kitabuhu, kitabuha, we had kitabi, the dhamma was gone, remember? Because we said, why ya al-mutakallim? Always must be preceded by kasra. So likewise, if I want to say like my book, if I want to say my brother, likewise the dhamma is going to be eliminated. It's going to be replaced by ya because it's going to be replaced by kasra because ya al-mutakallim must always be preceded by kasra. Okay. So the nouns which this extra waw when they are mudaf are four words. You have learned two in this lesson: ab and akh, abun and akhun. And we will learn later on, femun, which means mouth, and hamun, which means, yani, the, like father-in-law, yani, the father-in-law, yani, the relatives of the wife by marriage. Okay? So, these four words, abun and akhun, femun and hamun, whenever they're using idhafa, then they're going to have to take this extra elongated vowel. As far as the fifth of those words, it's the word dhu, which means sahib. It means the possessor or owner of something. And that word is always used in idhafa. It's only used in idhafa. Together they make five words known in Arabic as al-asma al-khamsa, the five special nouns. Okay, so this rule is applicable what? To these two words, akh and ab, and the other words that are part of that group. And they are only five words. It's applicable to them only when they are used in idhafa. Okay, so it says here, you have learned two and you will learn the other two in the future, inshallah. Okay, let's turn to page. This is the second point of our lesson, right? The first point are the possessive pronouns, ka and hu and ha and e. And the second point is the asma al-khamsa, the five special words. In this lesson, we have two of them, ab and akh. When they are joined to another, to a pronoun or to a clear noun in idhafa, and in idhafa construction, whenever that happens, then we're going to have to elongate the vowel. We're going to elongate the vowel from a single dhamma to a dhamma followed by waw. That's the second point. Asma al-khamsa, the five special nouns, when they're in idhafa, we elongate the vowel between the those special words and whatever is connected to it in idhafa, whether it's a pronoun or a clear noun. Whether it's one of these pronouns that we had in this lesson, yani, ka, hu, ha, or e, or whether it's a clear noun, as in Abu Muhammadin, or Akhu Muhammadin. Okay, let's turn to page 26, point number 3. Point number 3, we have already learned that the word inda, yani, we had it in lesson 9, the previous lesson, second part of the lesson, we had the word inda. In the English key on page 23 of lesson 9b. With the meaning of with, like we had, al-mudarrisu inda al-mudiri. The teacher is with the yani principal. So we said that in that lesson, that inda, it means with. It is also used to convey the idea of to have something. Yani, the same word, you may use it to convey the idea of to have something. For example, أَعِنْدَكَ قَلَمٌ, have you a pen? Literally, is there a pen with you? أَعِنْدَكَ, is there with you? عِنْدَكَ, ka is the pronoun that we're learning now, right? For second person masculine singular, أَنْتَ. أَعِنْدَكَ, is there with you? Qalamun, a pen. Do you have a pen? Okay, so this word anda, it means to be with someone in their special place, but it also means to have something. It also has another meaning, that is to have something. Okay, so when you say anda, just try to remember that it means to be with someone, to be with the imam in the masjid, for example, to be with the teacher in the classroom, to be with the principal in his office. Anda, it has that meaning, to be with someone. And it also has the meaning of to have something with you. Yani to possess something, to have a pen, to have a book, to have something. Okay, so it has two meanings. This is the second meaning. Okay, we had it previously in lesson 9. Now we're seeing it in lesson 10 with a second meaning. Inda. Yani if somebody said, عندي كتاب means with me is a book, or I have a book. Alright, number 4. Point number 4. English key, page 26, lesson 10, point number 4. This point is a very simple point. Okay, it's just the preposition li. When it's used with the pronouns that we just took, ka and hu and ha, when it's used with those pronouns, the kasra of li, the preposition li, which means belonging to, right? We said preposition li, it means belonging to, like alhamdulillahi, the praise belongs to Allah. When it's used with these possessive pronouns, ka and hu and ha, the kasra of li becomes fatha. Alright? Point number 4. We have already learnt the preposition li, meaning belonging to. When it is attached to the pronouns, it takes fatha. Instead of lika, you say laka. Instead of lihu, you say lahu. Laka belongs to you. Lahu belongs to him. Laha belongs to her. Okay? So it changes from kasra to fatha when you attach it to pronouns. And when we see the plural pronouns, the same thing is going to happen with them. It's going to change to fatha. With the exception of ya al-mutakallam. With ya al-mutakallam, it remains as kasra. It doesn't change to a fatha. So, li, lam kasra ya means belongs to me. هذا الكتاب, this book, li, belongs to me. Okay, so this is the exception. When the preposition li, lam kasra, which means belongs to, when it's attached to these possessive pronouns like ka and hu and ha, the ones we're going to learn later on, the kasra is going to change to fatha. So you're going to say laka, lahu, laha, with the exception of ya al-mutakallam. Why is ya al-mutakallam an exception? Huh? Everybody should be able to answer this question. Why is ya al-mutakallam an exception? Why doesn't it change to fatha? Because ya al-mutakallam must always be preceded by kasra. So the kasra of li remains kasra with ya al-mutakallam. Mandatory. We can't change it. Okay? Okay, note. Li akhun means I have a brother. Literally, a brother belongs to me. Because li, yani the preposition li means belongs to, right? So when you say li, lam kasra with ya al-mutakallam, it means this belongs to me. First person singular, right? Li akhun. I have a brother. Or literally, a brother belongs to me. Li famun means, in my book it has a with there, that with should be just crossed out. Li famun means I have a mouth. Literally, a mouth belongs to me. I have a mouth. Yani, literally, li for me is a mouth. I have a mouth. It is wrong to say, yani, I want to say, I have a brother, I have to use the preposition li. Li akhun. Lahu akhun. Laha akhun. I have a brother, he has a brother, she has a brother. Okay? I have a mouth. But it's wrong to say, عندي akhun. Or عندي famun. But remember we said, عند, we just said in point number 3, that عند can be used to show, to have the meaning of, to have something, right? So why can't we say, عندي, like we say لي أخون, why can't we say عندي أخون, with me, meaning I have a brother. In Arabic this is wrong to use عند in the same way that we use لي. Okay, it's wrong to use it like this, because عند is used with things which are separable, while relations and parts of the body like the mouth are not of this nature. They are not separable. Okay, this is a very important matter that we have to distinguish between when I want to say I have something, and I want to say عندي I have something, or لي I have something. We have to keep in mind that عندي or عند is used with things that are separable, like a book or a pen or a house or a car. And لي is used for things that are not separable, like my brother or my sister or my mother. They are not separable. I mean, you can yourself abandon them, but they are still your brother or your sister or your mother or your father. Okay? Even if you disown them, you say, I don't want to have nothing to do with them. But technically speaking, realistically, your mother is your mother. Your father is your father, and your brother is your brother, whether you like them or not. Okay? So the parts of the body, like the mouth, the nose, the foot, the hand, or relations, your relatives, your brother, your sister, your mother, your father, these are things that are considered in Arabic as inseparable. عندي is used for things that are separable, like a book or a pen or a car or a house. These things are separable. But your relatives, your relations, your siblings, your parents, your children, and the parts of your body are not separable. So we don't use عندي with these things. Okay, so just try to digest this thought, that the distinction between using عند and using لي. Okay, عند is for things that are separable, and لي is for things that are not separable. Okay, so this point number four, is probably, we don't have a concept like this in English, so it's something you have to pay attention to and just practice with it. Okay, it's not complicated, it's just a matter of remembering that عندي is used for things that are separable. عندي قلم, I have a pen. عندي كتاب, I have a book. عندي بيت, I have a house. But I don't say عندي أخ, I have a brother. We say لي أخ, لي أم, لي أب, لي أخ, like this. Okay, that's point number four. The difference between the use of لي, which means belonging to, and the use of عند, which may also meaning to have something, to own something, to possess something. But عند is used for things that are separable, and لي is used for relations and parts of the body that are inseparable. Okay, let's go on to point number five. Point number five. We have learnt ذهبَ means he went. Now we learn ذهبتَ, you went. Yani masculine singular. Second person, yani the one you're speaking to, masculine, a male, and singular, not plural. Second person, masculine, singular. You say in the verb, conjugation of the past tense verb, ذهبتَ, يعني أنت. Person, I'm speaking to a male, single, one individual male. أنت ذهبتَ. Okay, the pronoun أنت is the personal pronoun. Here we have the pronoun تَ, يعني when the pronoun is the فاعل, the do of the action of the verb, تَ. أنت ذهبتَ. So now we had ذهبَ before. Now we're going to take gradually, the conjugation of the past tense verb in several lessons. So in this lesson, we're going to take two of them. We're going to take the second person, masculine singular, أنت ذهبت, which means you went. خرجت, you went out. أكلت, you ate. كتبت, you wrote. قرأت, you read. Okay, second person, masculine singular. And we're also going to take ذهبت, two. This two represents first person, singular. Like Anna. Anna ذهبتُ. So you have to memorize these forms. We already know for the third person, masculine singular, هو ذهب. Now we have أنت ذهبت, you, masculine singular. And we have Anna ذهبتُ, I, يعني singular, first person singular. I went. جلستُ, I sat. ضربتُ, I hit or struck someone. خرجتُ, I went out. دخلتُ, I entered. جلستُ, I sat. Okay, so we have تَ for second person masculine singular, and we have تُ for first person singular. Two forms of the verb. Okay, they gave you some examples here, two examples. أذهبتَ إلى المدرسة اليوم. أذهبتَ, أنت, second person masculine singular, أنت. Try to correlate the personal pronouns with these pronouns yani on the verb as well, because you can see there's a correlation between anta dhahabta, and we will see anti dhahabti. We'll see the correlation between some of them. Antum dhahabtum, and so on like this. Okay, so try to yani learn the verb form with the personal pronoun form that corresponds to it. Second person here, second person masculine singular, dhahabta. Anta dhahabta. Adhahabta. Did you go? Ila al-madrasati, to the school. Al-yawma, today. Did you go to school today? Na'am dhahabtu. Yes, I went. Notice that in the question, the verb form is dhahabta. And in the answer, the verb form is dhahabtu. Because if somebody says to you directly, did you go to school? You're not going to answer saying, yes, you went to school. You're going to say, yes, I went to school. Because now you're the speaker, right? So you're going to use the first person form, dhahabtu. Okay, so this is just a matter of conjugation of the past tense verb. Before we had dhahaba, now we have dhahabta and dhahabtu. Point number 6. We have learnt that feminine proper nouns have no tanween. Feminine proper nouns like aminatu, khadijatu, maryamu, zainabu. Feminine proper nouns, the names of females, they do not take tanween because what? They are mamnu'a min as-sarf, diptotes. So similarly, likewise, masculine proper nouns ending with tarmabuta also have no tanween. So we have a masculine proper noun, name of a man, but it ends with the feminine tarmabuta ending, then they take the same rule as feminine proper nouns. Generally speaking, masculine proper nouns take tanween, but if they have the feminine ending, tarmabuta, even though they are names of men, they will not take tanween. Okay, so the name Hamzatu, it ends with tarmabuta, so it doesn't take tanween. Hamza. Usama ends with ta marbuta, so it doesn't take tanween. Muawiyah ends with ta marbuta, so it doesn't take tanween. Okay, so what are we saying in this point number 6? That just like feminine proper nouns do not take tanween, so likewise, some masculine proper nouns, the ones that end with ta marbuta, that end with the feminine ta marbuta ending, they also don't take tanween. We'll be seeing more categories of words that don't take tanween, that are mamnu'a min as-sarf, in the lessons that follow. But we'll be taking them gradually, one at a time, so that you can get used to them, little by little. Okay, so this is a masculine proper noun that ends with ta marbuta ending. Just like feminine proper nouns don't take tanween, masculine proper nouns that end with the ta marbuta ending don't take tanween. Point number 7. Point number 7 is another dharf, an adverb. Okay, previously we had what? We had amama, we had khalfa, we had tahta. These are adverbs that we should know well, okay, that show place or position. And we said that the noun following the adverb of place, yani the dharf al-makan, we said the noun that follows it is going to be mudhafun ilayhi majroor. That's why we said khalfa al-madrasati, amama al-masjidi, huh? Tahta al-maktabi. The word following the dharf is always going to be mudhafun ilayhi majroor. So here we have another dharf. Yani it's a dharf that indicates what? Position or place. The meaning of ma, mim fatta, ayn fatta, it means with. Now, keep it in mind, we had in the previous lesson, inda, which means with. And in this lesson we said inda also means to have something, right? But inda means with, right? Inda al-mudiri, with the mudir. So ma'a also means with, but there's a difference between ma'a and inda. To understand the difference between ma'a and inda, remember that. Al-mudarrisu inda al-mudiri, that sentence, inda al-mudiri, al-mudarrisu inda al-mudiri, this means the teacher is with the headmaster, but it means that the teacher has gone to the headmaster's office, and he is with him there, in his office. So inda indicates that you are with someone in a special place, that is particular to that person. Okay, with the imam in the masjid, for example, with the teacher in the classroom, for example, with the principal in the principal's office. That's the meaning of inda. It's restricted to a particular place that the person who you are with is known for. But ma, on the other hand, I'm turning to page 27, doesn't have this restriction. So al-mudarrisu ma'a al-mudiri, ma'a instead of inda al-mudiri, al-mudarrisu ma'a al-mudiri, he can be with the headmaster anywhere. It's not restricted to the principal or the headmaster's office. If you say ma'a al-mudiri, he might be with him in the marketplace, he might be with him in an amusement park, he might be with him anywhere. He doesn't have to be with him in the principal's office, okay? So both ma'a and inda have the meaning of being with, but inda means being with that person in the place that they are known for, and ma'a means being with them anywhere. So ma'a is also a dharf al-makan, an adverb of place, and the word following it is always going to be muvawfun ilayhi majroor. It's going to take kasra. What is important here is that ma'a means with, but its meaning is not restricted like inda. Okay, it's not restricted, it's open. Could be with that person anywhere. Point number 8. Bil jamiati means at the university. B, the letter ba with kasra, is a preposition meaning at or in. Okay, we had prepositions before, right? In lesson 4 we had fi, we had ala, min, ila, and after that we also had the preposition li, which means belonging to. And now we see another preposition, be, which means at or in. Means at or in. So if somebody said, Al-Jami'atu Al-Islamiyatu Bil-Madinati Al-Munawwarati Bil-Madinati means the Islamic University at Medina or in Medina. Means in or at. Now, B actually has many, many more meanings, but these are some of the most common meanings. When you say Bil Medina, means yani something that is in the city of Medina or at a particular place. B means in or it means at. Okay, it's a preposition. Like every other preposition, the noun following it is going to be ism majroor. It's going to be majroor with kasra as the primary sign, kasra. There are also secondary signs which we'll see later on. But what is important here, just like fi and ala and min and ila and li, b is a preposition. The noun that's following it, the object of the preposition, is going to be majroor with kasra. The last point, grammatical point of this lesson, very, very simple point, important point though. In lesson 1, we have learned that ma means what? As in, ma hadha, what is this? That's ma al-istifhamiya, the ma that's used for asking a question. That ma means what? Ma hadha, what is this? Ma dhalika, what is that? And so on. But this word is also used as a negative particle. Yani harf. Yani that is, it's a particle that's used to indicate negation. Yani ma and nafiya. Okay, we had previously in lesson 1, ma al-istifhamiya, the ma that's used to ask a question. Now we have ma and nafiya, the ma that's used to negate something, nafi, to negate something. So you say, for example, ma indi sayaratun, means I don't have a car, or I have no car. Without ma, you say indi sayaratun, means indi sayaratun, I have a car. But if we want to negate that statement, the affirmative statement, and make it negative, we say, instead of indi sayaratun, ma indi sayaratun, ma indi kitabun, I don't have a book. Ma indi qalamun, I don't have a pen. Okay, so ma, we'll see, has many meanings. The first meaning we had was in lesson 1, where ma means what? Asking a question. Now we have ma, that means negation. It's negating a statement. Okay, mashallah. Yani, I think that we have taken yani sufficient time to cover this English key thoroughly. And I hope that everybody read it for homework. And whatever questions you had when you read it for homework, I pray that those questions have been answered and the matter has been clarified. Okay, I didn't intend to take this much time with this English key today, but in any case, yani, I always say that it's not important how fast we finish, but what is important is that we understand. Okay, if we understood, then alhamdulillah, it is definitely worth it. Okay, and that doesn't mean that you're not allowed to have questions. You're still allowed to have questions. If anybody has a question, please feel free to ask questions. I don't mind explaining it again and again and again. If we don't finish all that we intended to cover today, it's okay. We can cover it next week. Okay, we'll have it for homework again next week, no problem. Okay, in the time that's remaining, inshallah, what we want to do now is quickly turn to the Arabic part of the book, page 54, lesson number 10, the Arabic text. Lesson number 10, the Arabic text, or the dialogue at the beginning of the lesson. Okay, so if everybody has turned to that page, the dialogue is on page 54, 55, and the couple of lines on top of page 56. So what we want to do is we want to read that dialogue, and we want to translate it, and hopefully you already wrote it out for practicing your handwriting. This is a dialogue between Hamid and Muhammad. Hamid and Muhammad, two people, they're having a discussion. Okay, in this dialogue, we're going to see everything that we had in the English key of this lesson. Okay, we're going to see the possessive pronouns, yani, ka, hu, ha, and e. And we're also going to see the personal pronouns that we had from lesson 4, yani, ana, and anta, and hu, and hiya. So we're going to see the contrast between how they're used as a personal pronoun, how they're used as a possessive pronoun. We're also going to see in this lesson the ma istifhamiya, yani ma that's used to ask a question, what? And we're going to also see, yani, ma that's ma nafiya, that we learned new in this lesson, the ma of negation. So we're going to see a number of things in this lesson, and hopefully you're going to be, yani, noticing, paying attention, for example, to the new things that we learned in this lesson, like, for example, we said that masculine proper nouns that end with ta mabuta do not take tanween. So we're also going to see that in this lesson. So please pay attention to these things that we took in this lesson. All the things that we took in this lesson, inshallah, try to note them as we're going through the reading and as we translate, and paying attention to the rules that are applicable here. Okay, let's read on page 54. At the top of the page, it says, lesson number 10, Ad-Darsu Al-Ashiru, the 10th lesson. Ad-Darsu Al-Ashiru. And again, these ordinal numbers, At-Tasi'u Al-Ashiru, Al-Khamisu. Remember, this is part of the lesson that we also have to learn these words, okay? The 10th lesson from Ashara, Ashiru, Tasi'u, from Tisa. Yani, these are the ordinal numbers. Okay, the dialogue between Hamid and Muhammad. I'm just going to point out some of the pronouns, possessive pronouns, personal pronouns, ظرف, yani adverbs like ma'a and inda, and yani masculine proper nouns that don't take tanween like Hamza and Muawiyah and Usama, things like this. I'm going to be pointing these things out as we're reading through it, just to kind of make us focus on some of these points. And please pay attention to the difference, yani, between the use of inda and li, and the difference between inda and ma'a. Okay? Inda is used for things that are separable. Li is used for things that are inseparable, for people, for relatives, for parts of the body. Yani, inda is used to refer to being with somebody in a particular place, whereas ma'a is used, yani, without such restrictions. Okay, let's read. Hamid says, Man anta, meaning, and please translate ahead of me, and read ahead of me. Man anta, meaning, who are you? Okay, we had men before. We had ma, we had men, and we had hamzatul istifham. These are three question words that we had previously. We're going to see them in this lesson again. Man anta, who are you? Okay, the corresponding pronoun for the personal pronoun anta is going to be ka, kaf with fatta. So please note, when we see ka, it means second person, masculine, singular. And anta also means second person, masculine, singular, but as a personal pronoun. Who are you? I'm not saying showing possession, you're something, but this is just a personal pronoun. Man anta? Muhammad said, Ana talibun bil jamiyati. Ana talibun bil jamiyati, meaning, I am a student at the university. Ana is a personal pronoun for first person, singular. Bil jamiyati, yani B is a preposition, so jamiyati is ism majrur with kasra. Hamid says, A anta talibun jadidun? A anta talibun jadidun, meaning, Are you a new student? Yani as Hamzatul Istifham is used for asking a question, right? So anta talibun jadidun means you are a new student. A anta means are you talibun jadidun, a new student. Muhammad says, Naam, ana talibun jadidun. Yes, I am, ana, first person singular, I am, that's a personal pronoun, talibun jadidun, I am a new student. Hamid says, min aina anta. Remember we had aina before also, means where, and min aina is a combination of two words that means from where. Okay, if somebody said, aina anta, where are you? They want to know where you are right now. But if they said, min aina anta, they want to know where are you from. Min aina, from where anta are you. Second person, masculine, singular, anta. Its counterpart is going to be ka, like kitabuka. Second person, masculine, singular. Min aina anta, where are you from? Muhammad says, now remember, where is Muhammad from? Ana min al hindi. Because this is going to come in our comprehension questions. Yani, where is Muhammad from? Ana min al-Hindi. I am from, what's al-Hind? India. Hamid says, Masmuka. Masmuka. Yani, this is ma'al istifhamiyya for asking a question. What is your name? Ma ismuka. Masmuka. What is your name? Ka here is second person. Masculine singular for enter, right? Possessive pronoun, ka. Ma ismuka, what is your name? Showing possession, your name. Muhammad says, ismi Muhammadun. Ismi, yani, ya al-mutakallam shows possession of what? First person singular, my name. First person singular. My name is Muhammad. My name is Muhammad. Okay, this ya al-mutakallam, the personal pronoun that corresponds with it is ana. But you don't say ismu ana. You say ismi. My name is Muhammad. Hamid says, وَمَنْ هَذَا الْفَتَى الَّذِي مَعَكَ وَمَنْ مَا means what? مَنْ means who? وَمَنْ هَذَا الْفَتَى And who is this fata? This young man. Al-fata means a young man. من هذا الفتى Who is this young man? الذي Remember the relative pronoun اسم الموصول الذي means who if it's in reference to a person or which if it's in reference to a thing. But here is a person, right? Who is this young man? الذي Who is معك with you. With you. Second person masculine singular كا corresponding to أنت من هذا الفتى الذي معك Who is this young man? Who is with you? Muhammad says, Huwa zamili. Huwa zamili. What is the meaning of zamil? Now note, zamil is not sadiq. Sadiq is a friend. Zamil is not a friend. A lot of times we get these words mixed up. Sadiq is a friend. Zamil is what? Is a colleague or a classmate. Somebody that works with you or studies with you. Zamili. So, who is this young man that is with you? Muhammad says, Huwa zamili. He is my classmate. He is my classmate. It means classmate or colleague if it's somebody that works with you. Okay? Here, ya al-mutakallam is zamili, means first person singular, my. He is my classmate. And again, the pronoun huwa, personal pronoun, its corresponding possessive pronoun is hu, as in kitabuhu, his book. Alright? Hamid says, أَهُوَ أَيْضًا مِنَ الْهِنْدِ And he's asking, Hamid is asking Muhammad, أَهُوَ أَيْضًا مِنَ الْهِنْدِ Because remember, Muhammad is from India. So he's saying, is he your classmate? Is he also from India? أَهُوَ أَيْضًا also مِنَ الْهِنْدِ Muhammad says, لَا هُوَ مِنَ الْيَابَانِ No, he is مِنَ الْيَابَانِ He is from Japan. Hamid says, مَسْمُهُ Masmuhu. Who here, right, is the pronoun for third person, masculine, singular, corresponding to huwa, but possessive pronoun, his name. What is his name? Muhammad says, Ismuhu. His name is Hamzatu. Notice Hamzatu does not have tanween. Masculine, proper nouns, the names of males, of men, that end with tarmabuta do not take tanween. Masmuhu, ismuhu, hamzatu. Hamid says, ma lugatuka, ya Muhammadu. Ma lugatuka, ka, second person masculine singular, corresponding to anta. Ma lugatuka, luga means what? Language. What is your language? O Muhammadu. Notice that Muhammad, it's a masculine proper noun. Masculine proper nouns normally take tanween, but here there's no tanween. Why? Because it's following ya and nida, the vocative ya. Yani the proper noun that follows the vocative ya will not take tanween. It's mabniyun, fixed on a single dhamma. Fixed on a single dhamma. Okay, let's read page 55. Top of the page, Muhammad says, logati al-urdiyatu. So remember, Muhammad's language is what? Al-urdiyatu, Urdu. Hamid says, ahiya lugatun sahalatun, is it. Hiya can mean she or it, right? Like huwa means he or it. But it's referring back to a language, so we don't say she, we say it. Ahiya lugatun sahalatun, is it. Yani urdiya, is it a easy language? And again, luga is feminine, so sahala has to be feminine. Luga is indefinite with tanween, sahla has to be indefinite with tanween. Luga is marfu'un with dhamma, so sahla has to be marfu'un with dhamma. These are what we said in lesson 9 related to the na'at and the man'ut. They have to agree in these three things, and the fourth one we didn't take yet. Muhammad says, ahiya lugatun sahlatun? Muhammad says, na'am, yes. Hiya lugatun sahlatun. It is an easy language. Muhammad says, wa hamzatu ma lugatuhu. And Hamza, what is his luga? What is his language? And remember, Hamza is what? Is his classmate who's from Al-Yaban. So, wa Muhammad, wa Hamzatu, ma lugatuhu. What is his language? Muhammad says, lugatuhu al-Yabaniyatu. His language is Japanese. Wa hiya lugatun sa'abatun. And it is a sa'aba, yani luga sa'aba. It is a difficult language. Hamid says, aina abuka, ya Muhammadu. Again, ya Muhammadu, no tanween after ya nida. Aina abuka. Now remember the word ab and akh. When they are connected in idhafa to a pronoun or a clear noun, we have to elongate the vowel. Yani so we from abu became abuka. Aina abuka ya Muhammadu? Where is your father, O Muhammad? Muhammad says, abi. Yani the dhamma is omitted here because ya al-mutakallam must always be preceded by kasra. So we got from abu to abi. Where is your father? Abi, my father, fil Kuwaiti, is in Kuwait. Huwa tabibun shahirun. He is a tabib, a doctor. What kind of doctor? Shahirun, famous doctor. Notice shahirun is following tabib and agreeing with it in being masculine, in being indefinite, and in being marfu'un. Hamid says, wa aina ummuka? And where is your mother? Here, ka, right, is referring back to your, yani meaning, yani Muhammad, your mother. So it's second person masculine singular because it's referring back to him as her being his mother. Aina ummuka anta ya Muhammad. Where's your mother? Yani Muhammad says, hiya aydan fil Kuwaiti ma'a abi. She is also in Kuwait with my father. So where's his father? Where's Muhammad's father? In Kuwait. Where's his mother? In Kuwait with his father. Hiya mudarrisatun hunaka. Yani his mother, she is a mudarrisa, a female teacher there, yani in Kuwait. Hamid says, adhahabta. Here's the past tense verb. Remember we had dhahabta and dhahabtu. Dhahabta anta and dhahabtu ana. Adhahabta ila al-Kuwaiti, ya Muhammadu. Have you gone to Kuwait, O Muhammad? Again, after ya nida, Muhammadun becomes Muhammadu. Adhahabta anta. Did you go to Kuwait? And have you gone to Kuwait, O Muhammad? Muhammad says, na'am, dhahabtu. Adhahabta anta? He said, na'am, dhahabtu, ana dhahabtu. Notice, ta and tu. Ta is for second person, masculine, singular. Tu is for First person, singular, masculine or feminine. Hamid says, وَزَمِيلُكَ أَيْنَ أَبُوهُ. And your classmate, yani, where is his father? Who's his classmate? Remember, his classmate is Hamza, yani, from Japan, right? So where is his father, your classmate? Muhammad says, أَبُوهُ فِي الْيَبَانِ. His father is in Japan. هُوَ تَاجِرٌ كَبِيرٌ. He is a big merchant. Hamid says, أَلَكَ أَخٌ يَا مُحَمَّدُ. أَلَكَ, notice he didn't say أَعِنْدَكَ. عِنْدَ is used for things which are separable, not for your siblings or your parents or your children, or things that are parts of the body inseparable. أَلَكَ أَخٌ, he didn't say أَعِنْدَكَ أَخٌ. أَلَكَ أَخٌ يَا مُحَمَّدُ. Do you have a brother, O Muhammad? Muhammad says, نعم, لي, I have, not عندي, لي أخ واحد. I have one brother. اسمه أسامة, without تنوين. اسمه أسامة. His name is أسامة. وهو معي هنا في المدينة المنورة والنبوية. وهو معي, and he is with me. معي هنا, here, في المدينة, in Medina. And we have the word munawwara, but actually this word is improper. Yani better that we change it to an-nabawiyya. في المدينة النبوية, the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as opposed to the city of light. Yani because the origin of the city of light goes back to the false belief that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was created from light, not from the earth like other human beings, created from light, and this is a false belief. So he is with me here in Medina. Yani my brother Usama is with me here in Medina. Wali ukhtun wahidatun, and I also have one sister. Notice wahidatun is feminine because ukhtun is feminine. Wali ukhtun wahidatun ismuha Zainabu. Ismuha, yani here, her name. Ismuha Zainabu. Feminine proper nouns do not take tanween. I have one sister, and her name is Zainab. وَهِيَ فِي الْعِرَاقِ. And she is where? In Iraq. مَعَ زَوْجِهَا. With her husband. She's in Iraq with her husband. So her and her husband are in Iraq. زَوْجُهَا مُهَنْدِسٌ. And her husband is an engineer. Yani his sister, Zainab, is in Iraq with her husband. And her husband is an engineer. Page 56, and we're going to close with this. Hamid says, عندك سيارة يا أخي عندك. He didn't say ألك, because a car is something inseparable, so we use عند with things that are separable. عندك سيارة يا أخي. Do you have a car, O my brother? Muhammad says, لا. ما عندي سيارة. This ما is not ما الاستفهامية for asking the question. This is ما نافية for نفي, for negation. لا, no. ما عندي, I do not have سيارة, a car. عندي دراجة, rather I have a bicycle. حمزة, حمزة عنده سيارة. He has a car. عنده سيارة. Okay, this is the end of the dialogue, and this is where we're going to stop today. We had hoped to do comprehension exercise, the first two exercises, 1 and 2, but no problem. The first exercise, let me just note here, though, in case anybody did not yet do these two exercises, which we did have for homework. Hopefully you have done them, but if you didn't do them, let me just note here, as I wrote in the instructions for the homework, that the first exercise, answer the following questions. Sentences or questions 1 through 12 are not comprehension questions. They are not based on the text. They are just questions that you have to answer with proper answers. The questions after that, from 13 to 22, those are comprehension questions. Meaning the answers to questions 13 to 22 are from the text that we just got finished reading on page 54. 55 and the top of this page 56. So when you answer questions from 1 to 12, answer them from yourself, but with proper answers, keeping in mind the proper pronouns and things like this. And when you answer questions 13 to 22, go back to the text. If you don't remember the answer from the text, and I was trying to highlight some of the answers as we were going through it, the names of people and where they are and things like that, so you can try to remember. But if you don't remember, just go back to the text and reread it again and try to answer questions 13 to 22 from the text. All right? So for homework this week, inshallah, review what we have taken today, review the English key, review the Arabic dialogue, and start doing the exercises. Exercise 1 and 2, and 3 and 4, and probably 5, maybe 6, I don't know. I'll see. But at least the first 4 or 5 exercises, definitely. We have to do at least the first 4 or 5 exercises. And I'll send you any proposed or suggested homework assignment for the week, homework assignments for the week. But at least, inshallah, review what we covered today, the English key, the Arabic text, the vocabulary, and also try to start doing the first exercises, at least the first few exercises. Now, I just noticed that Allahu Musta'an, nobody wrote a note to me that I didn't go over the vocabulary for this lesson. The vocabulary on the bottom of page 27. Al-Fata means a young man. Wahidun means one. Wahidatun is feminine of that. Az-Zamilu means a colleague or a classmate. Az-Zawju means husband. And Az-Zawja with Tamrabuta is wife. And there's some discussion about this. Maybe we'll talk about it the next time. At-tiflu means an infant, a small child. Okay, so there were 5 vocabulary words. And perhaps we should have added to those vocabulary words ma'a, which means with, and al-Kuwait, the country, and al-Luga, which means language. Okay, so those are the vocabulary words. Please go over the English key and go over the vocabulary, memorize the vocabulary words. And please reread the Arabic text, the dialogue that we just read, and start doing the exercises, at least the first 4 or 5 exercises. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And pardon me for going over time a little bit today, just to finish that dialogue.